Are you going to record that? Okay, that's fine. Okay, Rabbi Ozai, I wanted to share a thought, which, besides the fact that it's in the parsha, something that was very much on my mind in a practical way, and always had to look for ways, you know, to be medaber, not just to the lev, but also from the lev, because the dvarim hayotzim min halev are also the dvarim that are most likely, hopefully, to hit home. So I'm sharing a little piece of my own machshavas from this week, and I mean, something which I think is relevant every single day. Not so easy to achieve, but something to work towards every single day. There's a shaila, comes from a Rashi in this week's parsha, right before the Kriyas Yamsuf. So Klal Yisrael find themselves at the edge, right on the verge of falling into the sea. Paro Hikriv, this is at the end of Sheni, Paro Hikriv. Yisrael ben Yisrael say, Nam, Vihinei Mitzrayim Nosei Acharayim. They look behind and they see that Mitzrayim is chasing after them. They're getting closer. By Yirum Od, and they're scared. This is the first time that we see that there was a pachad. They left a week ago from Mitzrayim. Everything was good. Yotzim Biad Rama, and now suddenly they feel like it's not so pashut. Now there's a Yirum Od, Vayitzaku ben Yisrael El Hashem. They call to Hashem. So Rashi says, Vayitzaku, Tavsu Umnos Avosam. Calling out to Hashem over here in this context was Tavsu Umnos Avosam. They grabbed onto the practice, the craft, the tools of their forefathers. Avram Omer al Makom Sher Amad Sham. It's the pasuk that Chazal bring in the Gemara that tells that Avram Avinu was Mesachin Shachris. Makom Sher Amad Sham. Yitzhak Lasuach Basada, Yitzhak Lasuach Basada. And then finally, Yaakov Yifka Bamakom. Yifka Bamakom Ayom Sham. Yaakov instituted a mire. So, okay, seems like a harmless Rashi. It's almost the question, what exactly is Rashi getting over here? But he's talking about Davin. So Rashi has to tell us, oh, and there's a sugi in the fourth paragraph of Brachos, and he's paskening, you know, tefillos connected all the statement. That's the point of Rashi. That's pshat in the Chumash. I need to know that over here. It's almost like out of place. But if we want to strengthen the question, so Rabbi Rucham has a question over here. And the first time it's in the Daf Torah, it's in his farm. First time I heard it was actually from Rabbi Shwab. Shwab was a Talmud of Rabbi Rucham in Mir. And I'm a big chassid of Rav Schwab, and there's someone on the other side in Heights where Rav Schwab was a rav for decades in the Breuer's community, who knows that I'm a big chassid, and he shared with me some recordings of Rav Schwab from a few decades ago. And in one of those recordings, Rav Schwab mentioned this question from Rav Rucham. Just try to picture, you know, a little more of the drama. Rav Rivlin, the Mashiach in KUI, I always used to say, when he was talking about Chumash, he was talking about Tanakh, sometimes you have to, like, he didn't use this lashon, but you have to, like, get away from the spoiler alert syndrome of time. Like, you know what's going to happen. Like, you know, don't worry, Moshe Rabbeinu's going to come, he's going to split the sea, and we're all going to live happily ever after, right? But if you don't know that, right, the Torah is trying to put you in the mindset of the Jewish people. Like, the Yirum Ol, Vayitzaku Bnei Yisrael Hashem. Paro Hikriv, Vayisu Bnei Yisrael Seinam, right? That lashon, Vayisu Bnei Yisrael Seinam, throughout Tanakh, we don't have time for examples right now, but especially in the Chumash, you see, like, Vayisu Bnei Yisrael, they picked up their eyes. Right? What is that? That's like a very dramatic, like, suddenly they realize something, right? They lift up their eyes, something they never saw before. Like, a realization that just hit and just started to sink in. He named it Tzarim Nusachrim, right? The whole time they were just marching, all of a sudden they turn around, like, wait a minute, this was not supposed to happen, right? This wasn't part of the story. We're supposed to just, like, continue on to Eretz Yisrael. By Yirum Od, it was Mamash Pachat. And the Medrash goes to great length to talk about on one side it was the Chayos Rolls, it was the snakes and the scorpions, and the other side it was the sea, and the other side it was right. This was a scary, scary moment for Klal Yisrael. A scary, scary moment for Klal Yisrael. And here, Rashi comes along and says, Tavsu Umnos Avosam. Oh, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, Shachris Mechon Mairiv. Oh, okay, so they like daven all three in fast succession, like, you know. Imagine, you know, on our own level, right? You know, Shachris Mincha Marv, our very daily approach to tefillah is a little bit routine. It's not supposed to be like that, right? But if you're trying to create the imagery of, you know, Klal Yisrael stepping up at this moment to call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you think, I don't know, something more desperate type of, you know, experience of tefillah instead of like just Shachris Mincha Marv. You know, okay, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, for sure, Avram Yitzchak, maybe Yaakov we'll talk about in a moment, is a little more complex, but Avram, like, he just gets up, and the first thing he does, right, chakras, it's easy, you just, like, you start your day with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, right, Mincha, okay, you know, as the sun's going down, you look back at the day, you know, and you have your moment to recommune with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? But it's just sort of like part of your schedule, right, and here you're trying to superimpose that on this dramatic scene, it just seems totally out of place. That's Rashad's question. So, I'm going to embellish the answer a little bit. with a few hagdamas. The Gemara tells us in brachas that a person is supposed to daven like a poor person. Same way that a poor person is humble, doesn't feel entitled, doesn't know if he's going to get anything, right? A poor person, right? That's the motive to feel a derech tachanunim, like a rush. That's the lashon of the Gemara. A person goes down like a poor person. So, okay, so all those, you know, adjectives sort of give a picture of what it means to daven like a poor person. I heard a mashal, though, which really brings home what it means to daven like a poor person. Different versions of the mashal, but it could be it's actually a true story, but this is how it goes. There's a man who's very poor, and he lived in a village outside of the big city, and he couldn't support his family, and there wasn't enough, capital in his little village even to support him as a beggar. But he heard in the big city there was a man by the name of Rothschild, he had a lot of money, he gives a lot of money to Aniyim, and he's going to make the trek. It's a week-long journey, and he's going to go and ask for some tzedakah. So he packs up, doesn't really have that much, to take along with him, and he's marching day after day, and he's got to do the whole thing by foot. And by the time he gets there, his feet are all worn out, and his shoes are mamish, like holes, and they're coming off, and he's got another day to go, and he's basically out of food. By the time he gets to the Rothschild door, he knocks on the front door, and, by the time the butler opens up, the guy is mamish passed out, and flat on the floor. Okay? No koach, no food, nothing. They bring him in, and they revive him. They pour some water on his face. Finally he wakes up, and Baron Rothschild greets him and talks to him, writes him a check for $5,000, sends him home, happiest man alive. Every little bit of effort was worth it. Comes back to the village. He's got a friend, his other fellow Ani. Hears about this great trip to the big city. He says, "Okay, I'm going to do this also." Takes a little more supply, because he knows what to expect. But he finally gets to the town. He's there, and he says, "Well, once I'm here, wait a minute, this is a big city. I'm sure there's other people here. I can ask for some stuff. Also, he knocks on this door, that door. Finally, at the end of the day, after he's made his rounds, then he knocks on Rothschild, smiling, excited, to top it off, great day, and pulling some more money from the rich gavir. So he walks in, introduces himself, tells him what he's here for. And he's sitting, he schmooze a little while, and then Rothschild writes him an $18 check and says, "Have a good Shabbos. Nice to meet you. Hatzlacha Rabba." So, he's a little embarrassed. He doesn't want to say anything, but he says, "Excuse me, sir. My friend was just here about a week or two ago, and he gave him $5,000. And I get an $18 check. What's the chat?" So he says, "Very simple. When your friend got here, he was at a moment of absolute desperation. There was literally nowhere else to turn. He couldn't walk another 10 feet down the block if he tried to. He had no car, he had no food, he had no shoes. I was everything that he could possibly depend upon, and I was the only person to come who could even try to come through for him. So I'm going to step up. You visited 20 other people on your way before you got to me. Clearly you're not counting on me. You're counting on yourself, counting on all your other friends. So then I'll chip in a little bit. I'll throw you a bone, but I'm not going to step up like I did for the other guy because he was really counting on me." To daven like a poor person means to address HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the attitude that the first guy had. "You are my only hope. I have nothing else that I can do. No other kochos, no other strategies, nowhere else to turn other than you, Ribono Shel Olam. Other than you, Ribono Shel Olam." Person comes to tefillah with that attitude. That's not a coincidence, especially in slichas. Right? We use that imagery also. There's an avinu malkeinu. There's a father and a son and a master and a son. But there's the dal mecharashim. I'm not going to do HaKadosh Baruch because I have no other way to go. I feel like I'm totally dependent upon you, and I'm done. If you don't step up, then where else am I going to turn? Someone else. Like the other guy can take the attitude, like I have this ishtalzon, this ishtalzon, this doctor, and this invent, right? So many other strategies of kochi voltim yodi, and I'm cherry on top, I'm also going to daven because I have to check off that box too, right? It's a very different attitude. It's a very different attitude. But the MS, every single tefillah is supposed to have that perspective of, if I don't turn to Hashem, where else am I going to turn? We say in Shulchan Aruch, it says in Shulchan Aruch Mitzari, that Hamispal Yaman al Gavi Mito, al Gavi Kisav, al Gavi Safsal, al Gavi Makum Gvoh. Not supposed to daven in a higher place. Okay, now here it's all flat surface, but if you had like a little raised area in the corner, you shouldn't daven on that step. You're supposed to daven, on an equal level playing field. So the Mishbura comments over there. He says, "Why not? You don't raise ourselves because we're davening There's no concept of you know, arrogance before a Bona Shalom. Gavos, you shouldn't stand in a Makom Gavoa. It's symbolic of the fact, and it's a Pasuk. The Pasuk is Mimamakim Krasich Hashem. The Lavush writes over there, that's what we know, right? Many shuls in the old days, they used to daven, they used to build the shul, that Yored Lefnei HaTeva, right? That's Lashon HaMishnayos. That the Chazan would stand at a lower point than everybody else. It's not just not standing on a Makom Gavoa, but also to lower yourself. Along those lines, Rabbi Mani once said that that's, you know, that's why we give such emphasis to that capital term. Shemalos mimamakim krosich Hashem. I'm all the way down in the depths. So at one level, that just means, oh, God, Baruch, save me. But we're adding a new dimension to that. That mimamakim is desperation. I'm at the point where there is nowhere else for me to go, and I'm stuck, and I need you, Hashem. That is the way that you start every single tefillah. And that's where the other stuff in Taka, right? Like Yaakov Avinu. Some Midrashim say that the author of the other Shilam Malz, everyone knows Shilam Malz, it's Ayin El Har, Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. It was Yaakov Avinu. Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. Where am I going to, who's going to help me? Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. He had no idea. I have no idea where else I'm going to go. So I look up to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ezri Me'ayin Hashem. There's nowhere else to go other than you. Ezri Me'ayin Hashem. That's the attitude. And that's what Rucham said to Pshatnes Rashi. It's so partial. He says, it just flipped it around. You thought, Shachar's Melcha Mayrev, what Shaykh is to this desperation, you know, Mamish Chaim Vamovis are about to fall into the sea, because that's how we daven Shachar's Melcha Mayrev. Avraham Avinu, even though he daven Shachar's every single day, but he came to Hashem with a feeling that I'm daven, everything I'm asking you, Hashem, there's nowhere else for me to turn. Nowhere else for me to turn. And Yitzchak and Yaakov, tafsu be'umnus avosam, means that they were able to tap into that koch of tefillah that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov programmed for us in our davening, where the mode, where the attitude is, I have nowhere else to turn. That's our legacy of tefillah from the avos, and it has to be something that we, you know, we start with that before you Hashem svasai tiftach. It's an attitude that I need you. I need you, and there's no one else who can help. I'm going to the doctors, but when I say Rafa'inu, bottom line, if you don't make it happen, then it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. There's got to be a sense of urgency, feeling like this is not, I'm davening because it's my last resort, but it's my first resort, because it's the only resort. And everything else is important, it's necessary, but the tefillah is in a totally different place. If I can have like 6 more minutes, just want to try to add one more nakuda over here. This sense of urgency was in Yetzias Mitzrayim, was supposed to be something that we left Egypt with. Dahainu, you know, we say in the Haggadah, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. It's a question, why of all places do we throw in the HaMakom over there, right? There's so many other ways we refer to Hashem. HaMakom is a very rare usage. We have it sometimes, but why is that in the Bina Haggadah? So I want to suggest that the nusach of Hamakom, the choice of Hashem's name Hamakom, I didn't make this up. The Rav talks about this. Other people talk about this. That I think Chiddush already makes a Ha'ara. The only time we have a hint of Hamakom as a Shem Hashem in the Torah is when by the Akedah, Vayaras Hamakom Merachok. Aravino is getting close to Har Moriah. Vayaras Hamakom Merachok. The Midrash says that the cloud was on the mountain. That's how we knew to identify it. That's how we knew only he and Yitzchak could see. That's where they were going to do the Akedah. Vayar's Hamakom Merachok, the Gushurim says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very distant from him. He felt very far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that time. Because you know what he was about to get into, right? This was the Yitzchak. He was promised him. He's going to have descendants, and now he has to swear him. Vayar's Hamakom Merachok, whenever the term Hamakom is used, it denotes a feeling of distance from the Bom Shalom. That's why Hamakom Merachok is coming so short of the Bom Shalom, right? The Ovel needs to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's there, and he's been Menachemim, but at the same time, by definition, at a moment of sorrow and grief and a moment of tzara, so he's going to feel a little bit distance. That's a Hamakom. The Rav had a, if you look in the Brichas Yitzchak, Rav Ganak Sefer on Chumash, I think it's in Parshas Vayetze, Vayivka Bamakom, Vayalan Sham, Bamakom, right? Vayivka Bamakom, that's the source. Rashi quoted, the Yaakov Avinu said Marev, because Yaakov Avinu is the darkness, it's the gullus, it's the nighttime, it's the time of distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayivka Bamakom, so the term for Hashem, that he davened to Hashem, is Hamakom in that place. That's why there's, on the one hand, we have Baruch Hu Hashem Mimkomo, in that place, wherever it is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kavod is glorified, it's blessed, and then, as opposed to, Molochol Aretz Kvodo, other times where the entire world is filled with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. It's not distant. The Baruch HaMakom, because we were at the 49th level of Tumah. Medr says, right, that I think the Zohar says, why did Malchus Bechoros have to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yedei malach lo yedei shleach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself? Because if a malach would have gone to Mitzrayim at that point, he would have fallen. He wouldn't have been able to come back to Shemayim. It was that bad, that bad. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself had to come and take Klal Yisrael out. And if we had waited another second, as I'll say, then we would have been lost forever. What's the significance of that? So about 7 or 8 years ago, Howard Jonas, you guys know Howard Jonas? The CEO and founder of IDT. Big, big millionaire, lives in Riverdale, I think. Big philanthropist and, you know, very successful businessman. He said the best hire he ever made was Michael Coburn. Michael Coburn was the CEO of AOL, who was kicked out of AOL, wasn't successful, whatever. And like the very next day, shortly thereafter, IDT hired him. He said he was my best employee ever, and he helped turn my company around. Why? Because think of like, you know, high profile player, you know, who gets drafted or who gets a big contract, right? You know, so everyone's bidding on this athlete, right? So I'm doing you a favor by coming to your team, right? You know, when we're taking all those pictures, you know, with the press conference and like, you know, with the new jersey, you know, like, it's like he's basically like, you're welcome, you know, like, you can thank me for now coming to your city and making you guys famous again, right? You know, when I'm at the top of the world and everyone wants to pay me $20 million a year, $30 million a year, so then like, okay, but I don't feel any obligation to you. I feel entitled that you owe me. But if I was fired yesterday and no one's going to hire me now because I just had a very unsuccessful, you know, time at my previous job, and someone comes and says, "Oh, I'll give you a job," so I'm going to be loyal to that person because I feel like I owe him something. So Klal Yisrael had to go to the furthest reaches of existence just at that moment. Kol Baruch Hu brought them back as far as they could go, and because to fully appreciate how much Hashem was doing for them, they had to be at the lowest level. And that's the Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. That we realize how far we were in Yetzias Mitzrayim, and therefore how significant and important HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yeshua was. That's why Maskel B'Gnos U'Masayim B'Shvach. We have to start in the lowest points of Klal Yisrael's history to be able to come all the way back. But if you don't feel how far away you are, you can't reach out to Hashem with that same desperation and necessity for Him to step up. That's the Yisrael Gosser. To every tefillah is not just what I need, what I want, but an appreciation that I'm so far and incapable and unable to achieve without you, Hashem. And that was the way Avraham took the Yaakov Davin all the time. So you have to make sure every tefillah you're making, analyze. Take a moment to analyze and say, am I just davening for this because I have to daven for this? Or because I really feel that I have no other choice? I always tell people, you can look around the Beis Medrash at Mincha. Tell who's in Shidduchim, who's not in Shidduchim. You know, the guys who are in Shidduchim are mamish, pouring their heart out, you know? Or maybe like, you know, finals are coming up. You see, the more people feel like I'm not in control, you know, Shidduchim is one area you totally feel like you have no control. Like, mamish, may I know Ezri. So some say that, you know, it's Ezer Kenegdo. You know, where am I going to get my shit up from? Is it Taka Trip? Where's it going to come from? Right? Kasha Zibung, Kriyas Yamsuf, right? The same desperation. That's Lashma Chazal. You know it. You know it when you feel powerless. But it's a skill, and it's an art, and it's a goal to try to feel, so to speak, as powerless about everything that we are so kochi vos miyodi about. And remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hanosim l'chachai. Okay. Sachar Rav Rabosim.
Thank you. There's actually...